helping young mothers grow in the Lord is the ministry session we're about to hear from Mrs. Julie Hanna. Mrs. Julie Hanna oversees the church nurseries at Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
My name is Julie Hanna. If you were in my session yesterday, you already know, but I've been doing this for almost 24 years. I took over from Mrs. Chappell. I have it, of course, much easier than Mrs. Chappell ever did. She had 0 through 6th grade in one room. I have many rooms, and I don't even have to take care of the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds or above anymore. I only do the nursery. So I have it a little bit easier than Mrs. Chappell did. And, of course, modern technology has made it even more enjoyable. I don't know if you don't know where it's at in the book. It's 91.1. And when they gave me this session, I was kind of like, I wasn't, because they make up our titles, and then you have to try to fill it in. And I'm like, helping young mothers go on. It's kind of hard, you know, because I'm like, well, how does that really pertain to nursery? You know, because you automatically think, oh, well, that's a Sunday school teacher's job, you know, to teach them in Sunday school class. But they meant it more as, you know, getting them, which I'm sure all of you have, that one mom who takes her baby at, you know, 10 months old, still into the church services and makes it hard for the ushers and makes it hard for everyone else. And that's more what I took from it and what I'm going to try to help you with. Number one is understanding. I think the hardest part about working with people is everybody is different. And I remember thinking, you know, do you ever think somebody's weird? But then you think somebody else is weird, and then you think somebody else is weird, and then you start thinking, maybe I'm the one that's weird, because there can't be that many weird people. And so it's maybe I'm the problem. And so, you know, you get to those points, you know, where you're sitting there, and you try to figure it all out. And so to remember to understand that whether you've never been a mom yet, or whether you're a first-time mom at this moment, or, you know, like me, my youngest is 12, it's been a long time since I, you know, had that little baby that I didn't want to give up, is trying to remember all of that. So A is remember. Remember how it was when you were the first-time mom, or remember those things for yourself, that how you felt the first time you came to church, or how you felt, you know, when you the first time you gave your baby over to a stranger. This day and age is just a little bit different because back, of course, when I was tiny, there weren't daycares. I mean, most kids were, if they were babysat, they were babysat by mom, one of mom's friends or something. And they were babysat by mom's friends or something. You know, they didn't have these massive daycares. So kids are a little bit more programmed to go to a place where there are strangers taking care of their kids, and the moms are a little bit, you know, better about it. But one thing I've noticed is this is still different. When they drop them off at church, it's not, I don't know if it's the mindset of it's church and I don't have to be here, but I have to go to work. So no matter what, I'm taking my baby Monday through Friday to the nursery. But Sunday, I don't know if it's the guilt feelings, you know, that they give them. So church is still different. So it's not like you think, oh, well, they're in daycare all week. What's the big deal? For some reason, it is different. So that's another aspect that you have to worry about. And then you also have to worry about and remember the fact that they're in a daycare all week. They think you're going to run your nurseries like the daycares run. That's impossible. We're not a daycare. I do not run a daycare. I'm not going to teach your children how to go to the bathroom. I'm not going to teach your children their ABCs unless it's in the song with Jesus in it or something. I'm not going to teach them to read or write or teach them to feed themselves. I'm here to teach them on Sunday morning about the love of Jesus. That's what our job is for the nurseries. Actually, for any classroom through college. I mean, we're here to teach them about the love of the Lord. So remembering what you're dealing with is part of it, and remember how you were at that time. You know, if you were a first-time mom, I always laugh because anybody who, what I do is completely different. So I've been doing this for a long time, so I've experienced a lot, and I will probably still experience more. But the only difference is that when you have other people go, oh, well, they're a first-time mom. Have you ever had anybody say that? Oh, she's like that. You know what? I've met moms who are number five, and they act no different than a first-time mom. And I've met first-time moms who are no different than a mother of five. It's all in the matter of how that mom is. It could be 1 to 20. You know, it just doesn't make, you know, I've had people who have lots of children who are more protective than someone who just had one. And I, for me, it was hard because I was never a mom like that. I was never, you know what I mean? I would never put my child in danger, but when it came to church, I knew that God was going to take care of my baby. And we have a teacher here. Her name's Alicia Whitman. And I had just started doing this, you know, I had only been doing this for a while, and every day was different. You know, you experience different things with, everybody has their own opinion of how things should go. And there was a mom that would, she constantly gave me a hard time. Nothing was ever right. It's like we couldn't do anything right. There were either too many kids in the nursery or there weren't enough kids in the nursery. We had too many toys. We didn't have enough toys. It's like, it was like one of those, you just couldn't make her happy. And it was a Saturday morning, which, it's probably changed a little bit over the years, but at that time, we were probably the only church in the United States of America that watched your kids while you went soul winning on a Tuesday morning so a mom could go out and do door knocking or visit, you know, for her Sunday school class and watch her kids. And she was in Sunday school class with Mrs. Whitman, and she was talking to Mrs. Whitman. And Mrs. Whitman at that time was a young mom. She had only had one child at that time. And it was the most profound thing that I had ever heard. She looked at the lady very nicely and very calmly and said, "You do realize that God gave you that baby. And God will take care of that baby, and especially take care of that baby when you're doing what you're supposed to do." Which it's the truth. I mean, it is the truth. I do not advocate bringing your child to church, throwing up, because you need to be there. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if you want to find something wrong with something and don't want to get here, you can find it. And children, I mean, just adults, we can find that on our own. Children, no problem. You know, I remember I had a friend, she was so organized. I mean, she was just like completely, there was nothing ever out of place. There was, and she worked full time. I'm like, I don't work full time, and I can't get anything done. I don't get it. And but then she got pregnant. And my daughter in the middle is the same age as her daughter. And I remember thinking, she's going to find out what life is really like when you're trying to walk out the door and you've got everything planned out and you have a messy diaper. Or she just puked all over the place and you got to change her. You know, that never happened to her. She either has better praying power than I have, but those things never happened to her. And I was like, she was just so, she obviously probably, me not knowing at the time, probably scheduled that extra 15 minutes for disaster, you know, that I was always leaving out or something. So just remember to be understanding. B is understanding. Understanding has a different definition for however you look at it, because we all understand differently, each one of us. Understanding to me is more like we understand things by our own personal experiences. We understand things more because we've been through that before. Or my husband's a deacon, so I have to do funerals. And it's not my favorite thing to do, to walk through that line. Because you don't know half the people. You may have only known the person that passed away, but yet there are families there. And it just makes me feel, because what do you say? I mean, there's nothing that you can say when someone passes away. I can't even say, oh, I lost my mother too. I understand what you're going through. Because no, I don't. I lost my mom, not your mom. I have no idea what experiences you have. So just remember that understanding has a lot to do with your experiences in life. So you have to sometimes, when you're in a position like this, step back just a little bit and go, yes, I know, I would take my kids, you know, everywhere, no matter what. Other people aren't like that. And that doesn't make them less of a person or love God any less or any more faithful or anything than I am. It's just different how they handle things. Some people like to handle things very quietly. Some people tell you everything. I have ladies that'll walk by the counter, nursery workers, and she'll say, oh, pray for me, you know, I have cancer. And that's it. They just walk away, and then you're just left holding that bag going, oh, I don't know what to do. I mean, she just told me she had cancer. But then, And then have you ever had that where they never say another word? And you're like, well, did it go away? And you don't know how to approach the conversation. So then you try to call one of her friends and go, she just stopped and told me that she can't. Is that, what should I do? I mean, I don't know if they're telling me because they want me to do something about it. It's not like, oh, pray for me, I have cancer. It's just like, oh, by the way, you know, I said the doctor, I have cancer. And then you never hear another word. And I'm like, well, maybe she didn't. You know, so you have to get bolder in that, you know, and asking. So be more understanding, but also ask questions. Ask. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. The worst thing that people can ever tell you is no. Or what? It's none of your business. Okay, no problem. You know, but there are people who will tell you nothing. I can remember years ago when communication wasn't as good. You know, now communication is, you've got email, you've got text. I mean, you can just send things out. And it's not like you have to physically find a person. And if, you know, you had, you there was someone, they weren't like particularly close, but, and they were pregnant. And nobody bothered to tell you that they had lost their baby. And you feel like this big when you have a conversation with them. It's like, why couldn't somebody have told me? Or asking the woman that's not pregnant if she's pregnant. You know, all those things that you learn later on that you figure out, oh, well, we'll just ask how she's doing. And maybe she'll tell me that she's pregnant. But I'm not saying anything till I actually know for sure she's pregnant. So just remember about understanding that those are the things that you have to do. C is compassion. Everything, especially when it comes to children, you have to have compassion. There's probably nothing more aggravating than a child and nothing more wonderful than a child. You know, they ran around and terrorized the house all day. And you were just like, oh, if I could have 5 minutes alone. And then they what? They fall asleep and take a nap. And they're just the most precious creatures God ever created. You know, you're thinking, how does this happen? It's this, and then it's this. It's like, I don't know which way to go. And so compassion has a lot to do with it. And compassion is hard. Because the longer you do this, the less you can tend to have. When you've heard every excuse in the book. It's like, I'm not an excuse person. If you can't make it, just tell me you can't make it. I mean, unless there's something that I need to do to help you, whatever. You know, your husband's been in a car accident and you need to be with him, you know, unless I, you know, tell me but I'll say the excuse if, could you come and get my kids for me or could you come and pick the kids up for me or something like that. But I'm just not a very good excuse person. I don't like to hear them. If you can't make it to nursery, just tell me you can't make it. Because I don't want to hear it. It doesn't help me. It doesn't help me with my situation. Tell me if I can help you with your situation, but, oh, you know, I would rather be in church tonight. That's not a really good excuse as far as I'm concerned. So would I, and so would the other 75 ladies that are working nursery tonight. Nine times out of 10, anybody that you walk up to, do you want to do nursery tonight or do you want to go to church? What do you think they're going to say? Oh, nursery. Not usually. Unless they're grandbabies in the nursery or their niece or their nephew or something. So, always remember that you have to handle things with compassion and handle it the best way you know how to handle it. Some people like to hear excuses and it makes them feel better. You know, they can be more compassionate. I'm a little bit more the opposite. And I like it to be quick. If they tell me they're going to be gone, I don't need to know that you're going on vacation for 6 months. I want you just to write it on a piece of paper. Sarah will be gone March 5th through March 16th. And they always look at me when I say, could you write it down and hand it to me? Or now, you know, say, can you send me an email? And they're always like, well, I just told you. Oh, my God, I'm not going to remember. No, I will remember. After. When Sarah comes and tells me, so-and-so's not here. Oh, that's right. She said she was going to be gone this week. I do remember. I'm not that gone yet, but I remember. After the fact, when it doesn't mean, you know, at 10:05, church has already started. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. Don't feel bad about saying write it down. You know, use whatever excuse. I'm old. I can't remember. You know, I can't put, and don't put it on a tiny piece of paper. I can't find that either. The bigger the better. Write it on a book. That way I'll keep track of it. So just remember to have compassion. Number two is assurance while in your care. And letter A is caring for the child. The most important thing with new moms, or honestly, I'm not even going to use the word new moms. Honestly, it's moms, is they want to feel comfortable when they drop their child off. I have visited other churches. I do this, and I visited other churches and thought, I don't know if I want to put my child in, you know, and I feel horrible because I want, you know, I'm like, we have rules in which, I don't know how many of you are from California, but ministry in California is completely different than ministry in other places in the United States. They're catching up to being as weird as Californians, but Californians are at the top. You know, we've got the hand sanitizer everywhere. We've got, I was just in Florida. Could I find a seat? What do you call those? The toilet seat cover? Nowhere. You know, you don't go, you can go in a park bathroom in the state of California, and that's where they are. For some reason, the rest of the country has no problem. I have no idea why. But, you know, we are considered freaks about everything. You know, if it's, you know, if they say, you know, microwaves may cause cancer, the microwaves disappear in the state of California. I don't know how that happens, but that's just how it is in California. And so you want them to understand that you're going to take, they want to know that their children are going to be safe. And so we have this rule that where our workers are trained and screened before they can work in the nursery. So our rule is you can't come, if you're visiting our church and you have your child and you say, which I'm sure all of you have heard, can I go in there with them? I have two problems with that. First, I don't understand why you come to church and want to sit in the nursery with your child. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I grew up as a Catholic sitting in the crying room. I never understood later on as I got older, what in the world did my mom get out of church? Absolutely nothing. They were all screaming, running around, playing. She was in the nursery every Sunday just taking care of her own kids. So that I never understood. And I've never understood the whole idea of they've never been, you know, I have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they've never been apart. I don't know how they accomplished that. I've never, you know, my kids are separated a lot. So it's like, well, he's going to go to school next year. How's she going to do? And then have you ever taken them in the class together and they don't even pay attention to each other? They don't even know the other one's there. They're over here playing, the other one's over there, and it's like, because you know whose problem it is. It's mom's problem. It's not the kids. Have you ever tried to take a child over the counter? And she's coming. And mom's going, are you sure you want to go? And it's like, if you could stop, she would come quietly and happily. Just as you get him over the counter, now you're going to be, you know, 15 goodbyes. Kiss me goodbye, and it's just like, go, you know. And it's like, that's all for them. That has nothing to do with the children. But the children know, too. Do you ever take a child that you've had forever? She cries as you take her over the counter. Just loses it till mom walks around the corner. Stops completely and goes and plays. Purely for effect. Will she come back and get me? They're smart little things. They're smart at 3 months old. They know what's up. They know what works. If I scream loud enough, she's going to get tired of it. She's going to pick me up. You know, they know it, and they know it at 16. They know it at every age. So you have to assure them that you're going to take care of your child, take care of their child. And that is a personal experience. If you're just going to be a nursery where, you know, in which that was the hard part about when we switched to this new computer system, because you lose a little bit of that contact of actually meeting a mom. You know, I get to meet them, because I'm registering them at the counter, but it's a little bit harder for the nursery worker because she's just now taking the child. She's not taking information. And so I've had to work with my nursery workers of, you know, hi, how are you? And okay, where are you from? And stuff like that. And so it's trying to keep it personal, because a mom will come back. You know, we all want to be with friends. And if you hit it off with someone, they'll come back in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah, or you show up at their door. Oh, hi, how are you? You know, we have people who, you know, because we usually try to visit within that next week, and they're like, wow. You know, they've gone to churches and no one's ever visited them, ever, much less a phone call or a card or anything. So make sure, let them know that you're personally going to care for their child. I mean, that you do care about their children. You're not just a daycare. You're not just a paycheck waiting, you know, okay, I got to take care of this child today. That's not what nursery should be. It's not temporary. It's not glorified babysitting. It's to take care of them and to show them that they love Jesus, that you love Jesus, and that they, you know, how their lives could be if they, especially visitors, you know, if they decided to live a life like this. Letter B is cleanliness. That is the surest way to assure someone you're going to take care of their child. I had a lady many, many years ago who, when she came to our church, she just automatically fell in love with the nurseries, because the church that they were going to, there was nothing on the floor. There was no carpeting on the floor. It just wasn't clean. Now, I'm not saying that I'm the cleanest person in the whole wide world, but my nurseries have to be clean. I'm taking other people's children, not my own. What I put my kids through, what we all put our own kids through, is one thing, but what we put other people's children through, and I don't know about other states, but in California, it's huge. You know, they want everything flashy and clean and new looking, and paint, you know, spruces things up so much. You know what I mean? A dreary room. Nobody wants to walk in a dreary room. You're like, oh, it's like a dungeon, you know? And nobody wants to go in places like that. Children don't even want to go. So always try to keep them as clean as you can. And it's not, you don't need fancy stuff. You don't, you know, a rag and bleach, you know, just clean stuff. And having it straight. You don't have to have tons of stuff if you have very little stuff. It doesn't, either way, have it be straight and clean and organized. Know where everything is. Don't look like you have no clue what's going on. You know, have you ever, you know, like when you go to Walmart and you ask them, oh, you know that they have this item. You just, for some reason, can't find it. They either moved it, and you stop a associate and you say, do you know where, do you have this? And they go, no, we don't have it. And you're like, oh, okay. And you walk 10 more feet and it's right there. Because they didn't take 5 seconds to even look for you. I don't care if you can't find it. At least acknowledge me. Acknowledge that you're going to take 5 seconds. And the answer is not just no. Because all that tells me is you don't want to go look for it. You don't want to take the time to do it. So make sure that it's clean and that it's organized. Don't have your nursery where, as you put them over, go, you know, have that look on their face like, oh, I'm taking kids tonight? Or, oh, we change diapers? Yeah. We take them potty? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can run the risk of not taking them potty if you want to, but that just makes your life harder. You know, those little things, make sure your nursery workers are aware of cleanliness. Don't have, you know, like in nurseries, it's probably been about a year and a half, 2 years now, where we don't have any outside food anymore. My workers aren't allowed to bring in food for themselves, you know. On a Wednesday night, maybe they're running late, they want to eat dinner. We just don't allow it anymore. Allergies have gone crazy, and it's just not worth trying to figure out, you know. We had one child that was allergic to peanuts, and they had the mother so completely out of her mind about her child being peanuts. Like, she was afraid to walk into McDonald's because they use peanut oil or something. You know, they were telling her if he smells it, you know, and so we just did away with it. And it made a bigger difference in our nursery for cleanliness. I didn't have the Coke cups laying all over the place, and there wasn't the trash that, because people don't pick up their trash like they should. You know, they don't mind, you know. And I don't want you to move over your Coke cup so you can take a child over the counter. That's just how we do it. So just make it as pleasant as you can. It doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to have a fancy room. I do have a lot of rooms, but these rooms are used 7 days a week. Every single nursery I have is used 7 days a week. Not always for nursery, but sometimes it's to store chairs in there, so then I have to be extra careful. When they are used for something besides nursery, that makes my job a little bit harder, because then I have to go in and I have to make sure. They don't think. College students especially don't think. They'll drag a piano in a nursery and practice piano, and they had tacks and, you know, push pins and stuff, and, you know, one falls on the floor, they don't think to pick it up. They used a stapler. Little children find those things. I can't even see it, but they can find it. All of a sudden, what did he just put in his mouth? You know, where did he find? So, you know, just try your best to make it as clean as you can. Do the best with what you have. And letter C is safety. We handle safety in several different ways. Safety to make sure that you know that when you give me your child, you're the only one that's going to be able to pick up that child. You're the only one that's going to be able to remove that child from here. Even before we had this, you know, special system, that was always the case here. You had to have security cards. You had to have something to let me know that you can pick up this child. The security cards went from where I would cut them out of poster board and stamp them to make them look cute with a number on it, to, you know, plastic cards with their name on the back, to now you use your finger. mainly why I was so happy about this system was you can't lose your finger. These are attached to you. You can't leave them in the car or the diaper bag or at home. Or my husband has it. Can I pick up my kids? My husband has the card. Or can Can I pick up the kids? My husband has a number. I gave it to my four-year-old. That has made that, and the fact that when we take pictures and they wear a label that has their picture on it, it has changed. In fact, I was very disappointed when they decided at the last minute not to use the system for all the delegates. Because I was like, this is what we've struggled with at these times for all these years, is you've got 10 new children in your nursery, and you're not exactly sure who they are, and they all come at one time, and trying to figure out who's who, and when they have the picture on them, it's perfect. I know who you are. I know your name. I know everything about you. And safety is huge. Make sure that you don't have broken toys. Make sure your doors are secure. We have half doors in some places. Some places we have to put gates. Like here, they use a gate, you know, that you can only come in and out of. Make sure you keep your equipment up to date. I buy a lot of stuff at Costco, but one thing that I've noticed that Costco does is Costco has a wall, which Toys R Us does too, where they put all the recalls up. And you know you may have something that has been recalled, and you know you're keeping track of that. Make sure that you have, you know, hand sanitizer and cleaning wipes, and the toys are getting clean. And if the nursery is used for something else, so we had till we got these modulars, a lot of times the bigger kids on for special things were in the nurseries, and you know, like 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds were in with the 2-year, you know, not with the 2-year-olds, but playing with the 2-year-old stuff, and they destroy 2-year-olds' toys. They step on them, they throw them, they pull the wheels off. So I would have to always go in and make sure, okay, this toy's not safe, throw it away. If it's broken, don't keep it. If it's broken, don't keep it. You know, sometimes as moms, you know, we tend, well, he might play with it later or something, or I'll watch him while he plays with it. But in the nursery, if it's broken, don't keep it. Like I don't take any, someone asked me yesterday in the session, do you let people, you know, donate toys? And I would never tell someone no that they can't. I had this one lady who, I didn't even know who she was, but she said, oh yeah, I just cleaned out and I have all these toys, can I bring them in? Well, what used to happen was they would just put them in the nursery. And I'd walk in the nursery and go, whoa, because they wouldn't have cleaned them. You know, I'm like, okay, now I have to, I wouldn't even know that they had put them in there. So then I started saying, if someone would ask me, okay, leave them at the nursery counter, and you know, and then I just go through them and don't. Well, this one lady brought me a whole huge garbage bag full of stuffed animals. We don't do stuffed animals. To me, they're just gross. I mean, I don't care if you bring your stuffed animal from home, the little baby, but they're just gross. And you have to wash them after every single, which means they're not going to last anyway, but they're just gross. And so I had to figure out what to do with them. Because I've had people donate stuff and then want to know where it went. How come it's not out? Or I had a lady donate all this preschool curriculum, and she wanted to know why we weren't using it. And I said, well, the children are reading the books, but I have 24 2-year-olds that have to go to the bathroom, and we have to do all this stuff. I'm not going to sit there and have a full-on preschool session with them. It's just not, well, we don't have that ability. So as far as that, you know, watch your toys. You know, one toy is better than no toys. One good toy is better than 20 so-so toys. Like, I don't like to take toys from the Dollar Tree. They do not last. They do not last. 5 seconds, and they're toast. So just remember, do what you can to make it as safe as possible for them. When I was fortunate, when they built this building, they asked me questions. Because, of course, downtown, they were rooms that were, you know, different. We had block walls. I mean, it was just all this different stuff. And I was able, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able, I said, I want little potties in the 2-2-year-old nurseries. And, you know, they're perfect size for them. And we don't have to take a 2-year-old out of the nursery and take them to the bathroom. I had them move all the receptacles up. They don't need to be down there. And then I didn't have to buy those stupid little things that come off and nobody can ever find them. So you're buying them every week. You know, different little things. We halved doors. But then they put those type of door handles where they're just like the handle, not the round. It takes a finger and a tippy toe, and those doors are open and they're gone. So then we try to figure out ways to fix that. You know, either change the door handle. Now the slide locks, we put the slide locks on the door so it goes into the wall. So you let them in, you use the door handle like normal, but when nursery starts, you slide the slide lock and they can't get the door open and they can't reach the top of the door. Anything that makes a parent, you know, feel like it's safe in there. You didn't move, 60 chairs out of the way so you could put them in the nursery that day. That we don't keep that stuff in the nursery anymore. It's not allowed to be there when we have nursery. We don't work around things. So just trying to, let them know, you are keeping the nursery as safe as you possibly can. Nobody's perfect. Things happen. I mean, we walk down the street holding our child's hand and they fall and, scratch their knee. I remember I took my 2-year-old for a checkup one time, and you know how they get those little bruises that go all down their shins from, climbing on slides and climbing all over? And the doctor said to me, he goes, you're going to have to watch him better now that he walks all the time. And I'm like, okay, I'll try my best. I didn't know what to say. I was like, I'm not hurting him, because they're so sensitive, about everything now. And I was like, okay. Then you feel really bad, you're taking him. And as you're walking down the sidewalk, he trips over the thing and he skins his knee. I was standing right there holding his hand. I don't know if I could be any more protective. I could be carrying him and fall. It's all those things. So just try to make it as safe as possible. 3 is encouragement. All moms, well, people in general, love to be encouraged. We love notes. We love gifts. We love thank yous. We love people to tell us how wonderful we are. So that's how you have to, in the nursery, let them know. You know that that baby was horrible. But you don't tell mommy that when you give him to you. How was he? Oh, he was great. He was fine. Because they really don't want to hear it. They'll ask, but they don't want to hear it. Well, they do. They want to hear that he's perfect. Because we all are delusional about our children. Our children are perfect. It's everyone else's children that have a problem. He made him do that. He would never do it. He's standing right behind you doing it. He would never stick out his tongue, and he's standing behind you going, those type of things. And so you want to be very careful when you handle those type of situations, because they don't need an excuse not to come back. I struggle with, like if you have a first-time visitor and he bites someone. And I've struggled for years. Do I tell the mom? Do I not tell the mom? And I have made a rule. We don't tell the mom the first time that her child bit. Because that might be the reason why she never comes back again. And I don't want that to be. I mean, everybody's going to survive a bite. Now, if it continues to happen, something has to be said. But until then, I at least want her to come back one more time before I completely, blow her out of the water. And if he did bite, then we go visit him that week, to hopefully maybe find out, how, because you'll hear, oh, well, he's never done that before. He's never bit. But that's just what children do. It's the only defense mechanism that they have till they can talk, or hit or whatever. So letter A is go soul winning. Make visits to the parents. I know that it's ridiculous to send a card to a newborn, she can't read it, or to make a visit to a newborn, she has no clue you're even there, but mom and dad know you're there. And that shows mom and dad that you're taking an extra effort to pay attention to their child, and then you also get to see a little bit of the home situation, because unfortunately sometimes in this day and age, the love that they receive on a Sunday morning, it might be all that they get that week. They've been passed from babysitter to babysitter or to someone who just doesn't have the time or the effort to take care of someone. And most importantly, they might be the only touch that they get that week of God's love. Mom's busy for whatever reason. So make sure that you however you want to do it, send out cards, we have 3 touches. We have phone calls, we have cards, and we make visits. And we always visit first-timers. Within that month, a first-timer will get visited by someone from the actual nursery. Not the Sunday school teacher, but also someone from the actual nursery. The only problem is you kind of have to coordinate that, because I don't know if you've ever noticed as you're pulling up, the Sunday school student's like, oh, well, they just had 6 visits from church people, because someone else met them and someone else met them. And you don't want to kill them with kindness either, because they're like, we're not going back there. They, know everything you do. They're, at your door every Saturday, making sure you're going to be in church on Sunday. So just handle it however you can. If there's, I have a lot more people. I mean, I have a lot more children, too. But I have a lot more people that can help me with that. If you're all by yourself, a card is good. Children, and especially, 2-year-olds, love mail. They just love it. My family lives in Florida, so my kids get mail all the time and always have since they were tiny. And that is the most, and so now I have three kids. And so when my mom sends a card, she like always sends cards for Valentine's Day and stuff like that. It never matters. She puts them in the mailbox at the same time, and two only show up. The other one shows up the next day. So I'm always like, do I give them their cards or do I wait till the third one comes and give it? Because they get disappointed. Well, I didn't get one. They love mail. I mean, their face lights up. I got mail. They can't read it. They can't do anything with it. But they walk around going, I got mail. I got mail. You know, because then they're like us. We just don't use it like our mail as much as they do. So, you know, send a card, send a note, you know, anything. We'll just let them know that you're taking that extra 5 minutes to pay attention to them. And everybody loves to be special. Letter B is church attendance. And when I say church attendance, I mean our church attendance. I love the fact that my pastor's been here for almost 25 years. And I know he's going to be here for 25 more if the Lord tarries. I know that, without a doubt, that my pastor has that kind of commitment. And I love the fact that I've been doing this for 24 years, and when all of you come, when we started conferences many, many years ago, like Amy, when Amy came without kids, you know, I'm in my place. I like that you can come in. You gave me your child last year, and I'm still here this year. And I like that people can see that, not for myself, but for the Lord, that they can see that I'm in my place. This job is hard. I ask myself every week, and especially after conferences like this, in one nursery yesterday, because we have no idea how many kids are coming, which that's the worst thing about nursery. You can have one, you can have 20, you can't calculate, you have no idea. We had 19 0 to 6-month-olds in a small room. I came over from, I had to do something, I was doing something, and then, I was studying for my session yesterday, and I came over, and I'm like, okay, this can't be. So I'm trying to fix it, I'm trying to get another room, I'm trying to get that all taken care of, and they're crying, and I'm like, why do these ladies come back? Why? Why would you come back? They're not your kids. They're not even yours. They've been bit. They've been kicked. They've been puked on. You know, they've been wet on. They've been worse things than wet on. And they come back week after week, and I'm so thankful. But do you know why they come back? They don't do it for me. They don't do it for Pastor. I don't do this for Pastor. I do it for the Lord. If I didn't do it for the Lord, I probably would never last. Because we all get discouraged. We all get discouraged. You know, I have 9 nurseries, you know, and somebody didn't get changed in a nursery. And, we have moms that count diapers. And, you know, you can't win. You get the mom that says, oh, don't change him at all unless he's whatever. And then you get the mom who thinks he should be changed every half an hour, which we change ours every hour. I don't know a mother in the United States of America that changed their baby every hour, but somehow it just doesn't work. You know, we had just changed him, and when you walk, I don't know what happened. But I still have to be compassionate. I still have to be apologetic. I have to take it. And there are times when I'm like, you know, or when you have the, with your regular church members that are faithful, you know, and especially staff members sometimes, and you know, as they drop their baby off, they decide to tell me as they walk around the corner, well, you know, there's only 2 workers back there, and there's 11 babies as she walks back into church. It's hard sometimes to go, really? Why don't you just volunteer? But it doesn't happen that way. People don't think like that. And so, you have to do it for the Lord. You have to do it. That's the only thing that's the only person you can't do it for is him. He's, you know, and you'll never get thanked enough. You'll never be appreciated enough. It's just because we're people. No one ever thanks us the right way. I mean, then I start thinking about it. I go, I don't thank my husband every day when he walks in the door. I don't thank him for going to work that day and that we have food on the table. They generally will remember to thank me for, you know, dinner, but they didn't thank me for the clean clothes or the toothpaste when they open the drawer that's always there so they can brush their teeth. You know, all those little things, like if we were those type of people that we sat and dwelled on that every single day, all day long, which sometimes you'll find nursery workers that get that way a little bit. Nobody appreciates anything that I do. No, they do. It's just nobody has the time to say thank you. I mean, then it becomes, what's the point? When somebody's walking around going, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you all the time. Then you kind of don't believe what they're saying thank you for anyway, you know. So those are, you know, make sure that you're in your place. You will be the best example for your nursery workers and those new moms if you're where you're supposed to be. when she shows up every single Sunday, you're right where you're supposed to be. And your workers are where they're supposed to be. It shows to them that there's something different where you're at. Well, I've never been to a church like this before. And then letter C is love them always. Doing nursery is kind of like having grandchildren. They do go home with someone else. This that you put up with for 2 hours does not go with you as you walk out the door. Oh, look, they're still behind me, you know. Like when we have all our rules about, you know, you can't, you know, I made a very strict rule when we got beepers many years ago. You don't give me back the beeper, you don't get your child. That can tend to backfire when someone goes, oh, we'll keep him. Oh, no, I didn't mean that literally. I do want you to take your baby home. I mean, there are some that are so cute that I would love to take all of them home. But no, really, I didn't mean that. You can have him. You know, we'll figure out a way. I'll give me the beeper tomorrow or something. So just it's hard, but just remember that the Lord loves them. The Lord gave them to their moms, and brought them to your church for a reason. And they might be the first time I came to church. I didn't even have any children, and I had been saved in Florida. My husband and I moved here, but I hadn't grown, and. I was one of those that walked into church at 6 o'clock. Church was over at 7. I walked out of church at 7 o'clock. Didn't talk to anybody. I'm not that type of person. When I do this, it's only because Pastor thinks I should do this. He believes in me more than I believe in myself. And that was just how I was until then I started having children, and it made a bigger difference. And church is no fun if you don't have friends. And the best way to make friends at church is to what with them? Serve with them. Some of my best friends working in the nursery or serving for a ladies' night out or something like that. Some of my best friends. And I try hard to do other things because, you know, sometimes it's like I get these letters, you know, at when we get ready to have banquets or musicals and, oh, you know, we have this exciting opportunity for you. I know what my opportunity is. I look at the bottom, try to remember what's happening, and go, I know my opportunity. So then I volunteer other places. I love to help with ladies' ministry. I love to help in school. You know, I love to do, I volunteer in the school, you know, so I can get different, you know, so I'm not just, oh, the lady that works in the nursery. I can handle a teenager. I can even work with ladies. You know, I do good, you know, and it keeps me fresh. Or then I could maybe get in that rut of like, this is all. Can anyone else do this? This is the only thing they think I can do. But God put you there for a reason, and your pastor's counting on you, and the church members are counting on you so they can listen in church. Our church would be a complete disaster if we didn't even have childcare up above 3. It would be if we just kept the 2-year-olds and under, it would still be a disaster because they're just everywhere. So in conclusion, you know, like I said, just remember that the Lord gave you that baby to take care of for him. They're not ours, really. They're not. They're just on loan. You know, the adoption papers really never get signed finally. I mean, they're the Lord's. We just get to take care of them on earth. And in Psalms 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And they are a blessing, even if they're not yours. And I had a girl in my session yesterday that I watched her husband when he was 3 years old. They had just, or two, he wasn't even 3 yet, he was almost 2. And I'm now taking care of their baby in the nursery. Yes, it makes me feel very old. Very old. But you know, when that first kid, the first group of kids I had in the nursery, have now graduated from college, it's just like, I could not possibly be that old, first of all. There must be something wrong. They're getting older and I'm not, or something. But it is huge. It is such a blessing to my heart when I see these people come back for conferences and see that they're serving the Lord. And that I had a part in it. The nursery had a part in it. They don't get saved in the nursery. They don't get baptized. They're not going to whatever. But it gives them the foundation that they need. And it's amazing when, you know, they're walking back and they have children and their children have children. And it's wonderful to see. So don't ever give up and don't ever think that what your job isn't worth it. And those new moms, or moms, period, will come around. Once they get to where they can work in the nursery, have you ever had a mom do that? Where she was kind of not a thorn in your side, but she kind of let you know everything that wasn't exactly right. When she'd drop off her baby, she'd go by and she'd go, oh, you know, there's four in there, or, you know, or they would dress them in the most impossible clothes to change at diaper time. Because we want to, like, assembly line and get it done. You know, they've got the pants on and the belt and the suspender and the tie and the shoes, and you're like, and then that mom, have you ever had where then that mom actually starts to work in the nursery? And she comes and apologizes to you. I'm really sorry. I put my kids, like, I'll change some kids and I'll be like, your mom works in the nursery. Why do you have that on? You know, where they only put the snap right at the ankle. Everywhere else unsnaps, so you got to pull the shoes off to pull the little foot through. You're like, I'm talking to your mom. This is not a nursery approved outfit. So, you know, just remember, it is, you know, new moms, old moms. It really doesn't have anything to do with new. It just has to do with moms in general. And dads. Dads can be as much of a problem as a mom. Actually, I've found that they're more of a problem. If they're coming over there to drop their baby off, they're actually worse than a mom. Because a mom has them all the time. She's ready to get rid of them a little bit. Dad is like, no, maybe I'll just stand here with them. So if there's ever, you know, just remember that God gave them to all of us to take care of. And that's our job, is to reflect it back to him and do it for the Lord. Let's pray. In Jesus, dear Lord, thank you for this session. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to these ladies. Thank you for the rest of the day. I hope that everyone gets back safely. And if they're going home, that they get back to their home safely. And that we have a wonderful service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.